Welcome back to the Automation Podcast. My name is Sean Tierney, and this week on the show, I meet with John DeTellum from Siemens to learn about what's new in TIA Portal version 18.
John, welcome back to the Automation Podcast. I'm excited today to learn what's new and exciting about TIA Portal V18. Before we jump into that, in case people haven't heard, you've been on the show many times, but in case somebody's new to the podcast, could you give a quick overview of who you are and who you work for?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. I appreciate you giving us the chance to get on here and kind of present the TIA Portal V18 that just released. I work for Siemens directly and in the product marketing and product management. And I'm specifically targeted around the TIA Portal engineering framework or the engineering software associated with the automation engineering inside TIA Portal.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm just excited to learn what's new.
Yeah, there's so much. It's hard to throw it all into one podcast, so I picked a few choice things, and hopefully I'll give you a couple links and your audience a couple insights into where to go to dig into all of the details, because a lot of us want to get into the meat and potatoes of doing something and exploring it and being able to discover on our own the things that matter. And there's so many things tied to this automation framework associated with the other tools that we need to do inside automation engineering that there's a lot of details in there. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, I did get a chance to go to Germany and attend the SPS fair this year. That is a great venue. It's amazing because it brings all of the guys together in one big fair. It's not targeted at one. Siemens has a specific hall, and the other guys are in other halls. So hopefully your audience and you get a chance to experience that sometime. It's every November and basically gives you a chance to experience the big picture perspective of kind of all these automation suppliers. The other guys were there as well, as like I mentioned. It is still available online. So I put a QR code here to get you to this landing page. You can still experience some of the big picture discussions and overviews of, you know, where Siemens sees manufacturing and the future of automation and digitalization rolling for all of us and those big dialogues. But it was a great experience. But I really want to kind of hone in on things that kind of matter for you and I in the world of automation engineering. And three key taglines or themes stand out, and it's been kind of consistent with TIA Portal for the last 10 years or even before that, was with our mission is to provide efficient engineering so that it's easy to bring this stuff together, to provide a way to do standardization and apply libraries and make it so that you can evolve over one project to the next project to the next project and really hone in on reducing your engineering time and your cost and ensuring that you can apply standards into the PLC, the HMI, the safety, the motion, and the IO. And the other thing that's significant, if you look at Siemens all the way back to, as far as I can remember, 2005, 2006, is the ability to do PLC sim. And that also included the ability to simulate the HMI on top of the PLC. So I really like this graphic I found as part of our rollout of SPS and some of the events that are associated with promoting the new release, because it kind of ties the whole mission around what we stand for here at Siemens. This is another really good slide. Again, our TIA, TIA Portal is our engineering framework that truly is that automation tool set for doing the PLC, the HMI, the drives, the motion, communication, security, and IO. It's one framework. You can see it here. You can see the TIA Portal opened up as where I basically configure all the automation components in one framework. But the objective is not only having that holistic engineering platform for configuring and designing the automation framework, but also expanding that out to other tools that customers need. You know, the ability to work together on the project as a team, so multi-user engineering. The ability to automatically generate our solutions with other tool sets, such as applying the TIA Portal Openness or the Visualization Architect. The concepts of library, an integrated library with master copies and type and version management, and the ability to manage those libraries. We've really evolved a lot in libraries based on true, real feedback of customers using the TI Portal framework to standardize their automation solutions in their corporate world and driving the functionality in the library that meets their requirements. New in V16 and V17 was the test suite, which was pretty significant. We've done a couple videos on YouTube with other suppliers that highlight the ability of that tool to kind of validate the style guide that's been applied to the PLC and the blocks to ensure standardization has been followed by our programmers, and to be able to do unit tests against certain blocks to validate that we get the desired results. And that's evolved in the release of V18 as well. And then finally, some other key topics associated with IT, OT, industrial security. OPC UA has built into our controllers, and that's evolved over the last 3 or 4 generations of the PLC from 2.8 firmware to the 3.0, providing a lot more functionality associated with that communication protocol for our users out there. So it's pretty significant. All of these things have kind of evolved into a big picture, what was part of our V18 release last week, and what will be part of the next steps as we roll out the other components in December, January, February, and then to March. Because some of these things kind of lag a month or two behind the actual release of the TI Portal V18. As I mentioned, multi-user, it's also sometimes referred to as project server because you can use it as exclusive engineering for yourself in a way of kind of tracking your changes in a local session within your own facility, for example. But in the V18, we rolled out a couple more additional functionalities on top of that, the ability to kind of set up user groups and to protect user groups so that they are only providing access to a specific defined set of users. So maybe you have multiple OEMs or system integrators working together on a line, and you only want to give user A access to the project file and make sure that user B doesn't access the files associated with user A. So that was part of the V18 rollout. The other thing that they did is included the ability to check in a library and make it so that you work together on a library. In the past, it used to be you kind of manually kept track of a global library, and you kind of checked in with each other to make sure, hey, I'm going to make a new copy of the valve or the motor. But now in V18 with the project server, you have the capability of kind of checking in that global library into this project server, multi-user server, so that you're actually tracking the changes and applying and updating the library with your session. The other thing that I think is significant is it's being considered as an option that wraps the TI Portal framework. So it will no longer be referred to as necessarily the V18 project server. It's going to roll out similar to PLC, some advanced, and some of the other options that are associated with TI Portal, and it will have its own version number. 1.1 is the version that you'll see discussed with in the documentation related to project server. But it's a very significant, powerful tool that kind of accentuates the ability for multiple people to work on the project file. That's kind of the objective there, is the project file functionality. The libraries that exist in the palette, on the right side, there's two types, either the project library for user-defined data types or faceplates or objects that you want to apply across the devices and hand to the customer as objects that are built into the project, or the global library, which is our standards. We basically define standard blocks associated with control of a drive, control of an interface to the upper-level system, or a faceplate for the HMI, and we put those into our global libraries and we start working together. And again, as I mentioned, now in those libraries, which are inclusive with the framework of the TI Portal, it's not an add-on licensed functionality with the TI Portal, it's just part of that ability to do automation libraries. But now I have the ability to kind of really check that into the project server and bring those two worlds together so that my team working on a global library is now working together inside that project server multi-user environment. A couple of additional things that got done in the library with the release of V18, TI Portal V18, is basically kind of floating it back as a standard editor, so it doesn't float in from the side where the library tab exists, is making it a standard editor like PLC blocks or HDMI screens or drive parameterization windows, is now it kind of can have some of the same or consistent tools that are in those previous grids, such as a refresh, a filter, and the compare editor. So now I can drop that database of library objects into the compare editor. It's used to compare my PLC blocks, either online, offline, or offline, offline to a reference project, for example, and see what's the difference between what I did in one version compared to what I might have going on in the current version, or I can do a compare of what might be online. And now I can link that to actual compare objects from one library to another library, or from a block in the PLC to the library objects. So really kind of extending that functionality that we've had in there since the beginning to expand it to a lot more requirements that our customers have in that environment. Another really cool functionality is the ability to break out that program from program blocks into what is known as software units. The traditional program blocks are basically managed in the PLC execution, where they try to make sure that they're always consistent and that all the changes are maintained offline and online, so that if I do a download to the online PLC, it captures any changes that you might be doing in your side of your blocks into my project file with that consistent synchronization between your work and my work. And that got kind of tedious. Sometimes I don't really want to sync up with what you're working on in your side of the station or the machine section. I'd rather find a way to work together where I can put my stuff in there. And that's what software units does. Software units allows me to configure program blocks associated with a unit of the automation that the PLC is controlling. A pick and place, for example, a station and index input conveyor, all these things can be set up as a software unit. And what's new in V18 is the ability to do safety. You need to go and set that up in the framework of the TI portal that you want safety to be broken out into the software units. And then you'll see that failsafe group that we've always had in there suddenly fall safety unit. And now it's kind of got its own kind of standalone programming execution inside the PLC that doesn't necessarily need to keep up with the other changes that are going in on the program blocks or other units. So it's pretty significant. Another thing that came into V18 with the software units and basically the entire PLC and the program blocks is a new property on UDTs and blocks, and it's basically names. And I think that comes from a higher level programming and the ability to give it another identity. And basically that, if you look at my screen here, I can have main program in one block and main program in another block. But because the namespacing, the use of putting the namespace in those blocks, I actually have a separation of the identity of that block so that it still maintains its uniqueness, even though I'm keeping them consistent from inside the block. When I go main, process diagnostics and startup, I don't have to put an underscore in there. Another thing that I found significant is the ability to kind of make sure that some of the changes that are done to the TI portal project are kind of captured in a log. I've always looked for that. I always had customers ask for, hey, how do I know when so-and-so user made a change to the project file or logged in or did some kind of security modifications? And in V18, there's additional logging associated with the security in the Windows operating system that is part of any critical operations in TI portal. So that's pretty significant to kind of get us ensuring that we capture all the relevant information when it comes to any kind of industrial security. Another one is software quality, ensuring standardization. There's two things that are part of the test suite. The test suite is an add-on option. You got to do an additional installation and you got to license it for that functionality. But what's cool about it is it's got a cool style guide tester, an application test, and system test. So basically, I can write up certain code against my project file, put that in the library and bring it back from the library, and basically execute that against the program code to validate that the style guide has been followed for a standard, that the unit testing on a certain set of control code provides the right results and ensures that the application is going to run the way I expect it to. And what's new in V18 is the ability to run that through PLC SIM via the OPC UA client server functionality, and then also tie it to real hardware test instead of just PLC SIM, and also tie it to the digital twin or the model that might be running to represent the machine or the process and some of the other tools that might exist for that. So this is a pretty significant, nice tool that bolts on the TI portal to kind of validate the code that is set up in the PLC and the style guide that might be applied by the programmer. Add-ins are another feature and function that's been in the TI portal since V16 or V15 a few years now. It used to just strictly be taking a FC block and converting it to an FB or vice versa. And it basically gets into the code or the XML of the block and changes some of the parameters was the example, but we've rolled a lot more functionality in the add-ins to give users this additional functionality of writing their own applications that could help them generate their applications or ensure that they manage the standardization and efficient engineering that they want to do inside TI Portal. So the add-in is a nice little tool. You basically register it and set it up in the TI Portal framework. It's basically a context menu, right mouse, and I can get to any of the add-ins that I might have configured in the framework. And then it's just going to run that as kind of a executable that we've set up from our standardization or engineering team that does something to our project that provides the next steps of what's required in there. And there's a few examples of some of the free downloads that are done for the add-in editor. And Sean, I put in here the big deals. So this is what you'll see if you get into our industry online support and access the what's new sales and delivery release of TI Portal V18. It's, again, so broad because the framework is the HMI with the PLC and the drive and the motion. So all of those BUs or business units are working to evolve to the next generation. So they've all kind of got their own little piece, the functionality that they're going to deliver, for example, motion control or hardware devices. And all of that's coordinated into this one framework. And so this is the big picture of all the things that are rolled out with new versions in the V18. So it's pretty significant. And you can see for any customer that might be using ProDiag or some of these other features, that there's a little bit of detail that kind of got added in every one of these functionalities.
For the audio only audience, there's just a lot of stuff on this list. So if you're really interested in digging into all of what's new in V18, I suggest you head over to the automation blog and get the video edition, because there's just too many to list here. I don't know, 30, 40, 50 different things that are updated in V18. So just wanted to throw that out there for the audio audience. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll provide you a couple links to some of these, and there's a QR code on a couple of these as well to take you to the Siemens site. I also use Google. It does pretty good at getting me into Siemens industry support and then getting me to the details that are there to explore. And the other key thing is this is just the November release of TI Portal V18, which is the step 7, the start drive, and the WinCC, the hardware configuration and these options. There's still a few more things to come in the controller world, in the HMI hardware world, in the Sinumeric product functionality, SIMotion, and things such as Simicode and the control components, those tend to follow a few months after the release of the Step 7 for PLC and WinCC for the HMI. For me, I've been waiting for that true TIA, integrated automation functionality of automatically visualize system diagnostics from my automation configuration, the PLC, in the HMI. We had that in the Comfort HMIs that were the previous generation of the WinCC. Now we have that in the WinCC Unified V18, is the ability to view those system diagnostics that the PLC is automatically generating from the true real-world configuration. So that's pretty significant there. And that's one of the big benefits of basically having at least one HMI that is a Siemens Somatic WinCC, is it does pull in some of these somatic functionality of truly integrated, where you got access to visualize something such as the system diagnostics and a nice object on the HMI screen. Of course, you can publish that out to HTML and get that visualization on other devices via the other tools that exist in the HMI world.
Yep. So, John, I wanted to ask you about this. For the audio audience, we're looking at things like field bus information, I/O stations, I/O channels, the PLC diagnostic buffer. So these are all canned screens you're going to get automatically. And like John said, they had this for the Comfort. Now they have it for the Unified. So, John, I wanted to ask you this. I mean, even if I didn't have a Unified Comfort panel, would it make sense for me to add one to the project? Because I could get these screens automatically and, like, test run it on my PG?
Absolutely, yeah. I kind of highlight that a lot to a lot of folks, that even if you're not applying a Siemens HMI to your system, that by putting one of these panels into the project file and putting a few of these standard objects that pull information out of the PLC or the drive, because there's also the capability of kind of realizing some of the drive interface. But these are standard objects that automatically fill in based on the real world configuration that's in my architecture. So when I just define an architecture for my TI portal to have a PLC connected to some IO, connected to some analog with some real world names of conveyor one and drive two, all that is automatically generated as system diagnostics, as text, as alarms in Alarm Viewer, and as a graphical representation of the status, green representing I'm okay and reachable, red and yellow indicates maintenance mode or not reachable or air. And it is visual inside TI Portal when I'm online. I see the same graphics and see the same alarms, red from the PLC, and it's fed to the HMI object that might be configured in the project. It's fed to the web server of the TI portal, and it's on the display of the main 1500 PLCs. And it's also published in the OPC UA diagnostics buffer. But basically, it gives the complete system configuration that the PLC has for all of its IO in a form that is consistent and reliable, because I'm not actually having to do any programming of bits or mapping of bits to alarms. It's all done by the system.
Yeah, and it can be very helpful to have this. If you cannot open the enclosure, you're not sitting in front of the enclosure with the PLC in it. Now I can see really all the diagnostics I would see if I was in front of the PLC, you know, just by adding a Unified Comfort panel to my project and adding these screens. Now I'm getting all that graphically on my laptop, but I don't have to go through Step 7 and try to find that information. So I just thought that's a nice feature to have.
Absolutely. And the key for your audience to understand is if it's in my project file, I can simulate it. And if I simulate it on my laptop, it's going to find its way to connect to the PLC based on the configuration that you've got in a clock byte or a tag from the PLC to the HMI. So it knows that IP address. I'm online with TI Portal. But when I simulate the HMI is also going to find a secure path to the PLC and show me what I want to read out on the HMI. So it is pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I should probably, just for the Alan Bradley users out there, it's pretty unique, because what happens is when you're running the simulated PLC, it's pretty much taking the place of the real PLC as far as TIA Portal is concerned. So HMI just connects directly to the simulated PLC. But if you close down the simulated PLC, PLC sim, and then you launch the HMI, it's going to connect directly to the PLC in the field. So it really simplifies that whole having to go back and forth between the two, because if PLC SIM isn't running, then it always connects to the actual PLC. And you don't have to have multiple IP addresses and all this different stuff. So that's a very good point, John. I that's one of the things I liked about it.
Yeah, so for your audience, I'll drop into the screen. And basically, any device has this simulate button. So when I select the device, I go up here and I can simulate it. And in the case, I mean, it's been 2009 for the TI Portal, but it was also part of the classic. So any one of these PLCs, when I select it, you can see the simulate button, and it'll launch a PLC sim or what's required for that device. If it's a 1200 or a 300, and it's basically a complete, you know, digital twin. And I can do the same thing with the HMI. When I hit that simulate, TI Portal is going to launch that object, that automation component, into a simulated view. I can see the screens, and it will automatically determine there's a PLC SIM running, and it'll redirect its driver to that IP address. Or if there's not, if I'm connected to real hardware, it will find its way out my Ethernet LAN port and connect.
Yeah, and if you want to see that in action, we had that when we did the cause and effects matrix. So if you want to see that all in action, check that out. We had a simulated HMI and PLC and everything running. And again, there's no extra charge for that, which I think is really cool too. And you don't have to, like, if you're simulating a 1200, you don't have to, like, migrate it to some other. It just simulates that 1200 right there and then. Same with the 1500. There's no massaging or editing, or it just launches and runs. So, you can check that out in that last episode we did together.
And it's the complete automation portfolio. It's not only certain PLCs. It's basically any one of them. And this is the alarm viewer right here. So I'm inside the engineering framework, TI Portal. I've stopped the CPU. So it gives me that consistent text alarm from the PLC. It gives me a little animation up here that there's orange instead of green. I select the device. I hit run. I validate that I want to go to run, and that alarm message goes away. So this is the diagnostic alarm viewer in the PLC. And you can see I received the alarms from my actual PLC. And that's basically what the HMI does. The HMI does the same thing. When you set up this HMI to receive system diagnostics, it's going to connect to this PLC and does the same thing the TI Portal does. The other thing is kind of cool. You did a tech tip on the view of things before. Again, another step, more functionality. Basically, what they've done is looked at the memory of the 1500 and other devices and said it basically could run an HMI. So be a view of the thing, the device. So with WinCC Unified V17 and V18, you can go into TI Portal and create a view of things application. See, it falls under my PLC, not under my HMI. Web application, add new view. And basically that editor is the same editor as I get from my HMI screen. Looks like this same editor. And I just drag and drop these objects on there. And now I have a web server capability in my PLC. It's got a user-defined web page that I designed on it. And what's cool about that is I can get into adding a few more screens that might be OEM specific or system integrator specific, or things that I don't want to put on my HMI, but I want visible on my machine and require a special logon to the web server and access to get into those little setup screens.
Yeah, that can be great if you're an OEM and you're remotely servicing the PLC. You jump on that remote network, and now you, instead of trying to remote control the HMI, you can go directly into the PLC and look at the view and things. But I think, I don't know how many times I've run into a situation where the user says, hey, I just need a couple of screens. Can I have them on my computer? I don't want to have to buy an expensive HMI. And this potentially could suit those roles as well. And it's all built into the 1500. So you're not, it's not like you're, well, again, you have to, you know, think about memory. If you go crazy, you're going to need more memory, but this is built into the 1500. So, you know, theoretically, you probably have room in your application to add a few screens in there and do that. So it's pretty awesome. And like you said, we did cover the view of things in a tech tip previously, which you can find over at the Automation blog. And I thought Lewis did a great job of demoing it and putting it together.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's times where I put a PLC somewhere and I don't necessarily need an HMI, a remote station, a pump station or something in the field. And the ability to connect to the PLC via my 5G and get access to the PLC would be nice. And then I just log into that web server. I don't need TI Portal. I can basically troubleshoot and maintain the information coming from the PLC's web server and get to a nice HMI graphical screen. This is another thing that's significant that's part of the TI Portal V18 is the new firmware, hardware firmware for our core 1500 PLCs. Some graphics here so people can see which ones I'm talking about. Basically, that AT200SP CPU is basically our IO form factor. There's a 1510, 1512, and a 1514. They just scale up with more memory. There's our compact 1500s that basically have built-in IO. So it's a brick. That's what the C stands for, meaning it has onboard IO. And then there's our single wide and our double wide, our 1511s and 1517s. This form factor of the PLCs basically went from what we had in V17 with 2.9 firmware, a single core in the hardware, to a dual core. And the second core is breaking out that communication. There's so many people doing data out of these PLCs, OPC UA, that it's time to bring that faster, more performant functionality into our PLCs and split out that communication into its own core. The other thing is pretty significant is these new PLCs have more memory and significantly more performance. There's a new 1514 PLC that I think is pretty significant. It's of the form factor of the 1515, which is a nice size standard PLC. And again, these come in as standard PLCs or process controllers without safety. You can get one that has safety built in, and then you can get an advanced motion T processor that is doing the more advanced motion control in these. And again, primary thing that we did here with the AT200SP controllers, the distributed controllers, is now it has two ports. So similar to the 1515 and the 1516, I can have my IO, remote IO, on this one interface, and it's got a built-in switch so I can go in and out, and then I can connect my HMI or my programming environment or my upper level system to this other NIC process card.
So this is for the audio audience. We're talking about AT200SP CPUs, right? So it's like the distributed IO CPU. And a couple of questions, John. First of all, it looks like the 1514SP would be roughly equivalent to the 1515, the S7 1515. Is that what that's showing at the bottom of the screen there?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And so on this controller, right, on the CPU, there is an Ethernet port built in, a Profinet port built into the base, but then you also have what they call the bus adapter. Those are like those slide-in modules that go into your all your AT200SP devices, and it's like a little plug-in card. And it looks like you could actually use, could you use a two-port card there? It's saying it's PN port 1 and PN port 2?
Correct, yes.
So you could get up to three ports, theoretically, because you have one in the base, and then you could put a bus adapter with two more in it. And that's great, because if you want to do your daisy chain in and out, maybe you're doing a ring or whatever, you still have a port there for an HMI or a laptop or whatever. So
correct.
So that's very cool.
Yep. Basically, what they do on these, let me switch back to TIA Portal. So here's my view inside TIA Portal. And if you look at my IP address, that first bus adapter is the in and out. Mm-hmm. So that has the 192.168.0.1 in this configuration. And here's my daisy chain to this IO. And in this case, I use that second NIC that only has one port to go up to this PLC.
Nice.
And then same with, here's the comparable 1515. I've got the first NIC that has two port switch connected to my system, and then the spare NIC that's not connected anywhere. If you go to the topology view, you can also draw these out where you see that I can draw a segment from here to here and actually add more diagnostics. It basically checks to make sure that's physically how it's wired.
I mean, I think we're all getting used to some devices having two port switches where it's really one LAN port, but it's two ports for daisy chaining or ring applications. And so that's what you're showing there. That's very common.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think in the beginning, some of the controllers, not seeing other controllers, just put one Ethernet port on the PLC, and then the customer put a switch to basically provide that trunk line and that daisy chain at the switch. Siemens has always had the two-port switch so that it's built into the device if you don't want to add any additional hardware. Best way to explain.
So, John, it's pretty exciting that that we get this new hardware coming out for the SM1500s and ET200 CPUs that has this dual core and more memory and higher performance. How do I tell, when I go to order something, how do I tell if I'm getting the older version or this newer version? Is there an easy visual way to tell when I'm building my part number to make sure I'm getting the newest, latest, and greatest?
Yeah, so in the selection tool, it should come up. If you use the TIA selection tool and you specify the 1500 PLCs or the SP CPUs, it should lead you with the latest and greatest hardware that's released, which would be the 03.
So I mean, one thing I always notice about the Siemens part numbers, the CPUs, there's always a 0AB0 in it, 0AB0, typically something like that, right? And so the number before that, is that the firmware number? So we're looking at 3. So that would tell me, hey, this is the latest and greatest, where previously I'd either have a 2 or a 1 if I had an older generation?
Correct.
Okay, great. Yep. And I know not everybody can see the slide, so I'm kind of walking through it a little bit.
And I did do that in the TI portal, so let me pause. Yeah, so here in TI portal, what's cool about this is, that's a very good question, is that even though I'm at V18 here in my project, I can do a change device. And you can see this one here is of the previous hardware platform 2.9. And I can go and find the, I go properties, it tries to find the right part number. If I change this 1515, see that 01, it's maxed out at 2.9 because that's all the further it can do on firmware. But if I want to go to the next gen, you can see my 03 here. So these are two different hardware platforms. 01 is the original that we've had in the market up until V18. So 03 is the new, and now I can select 3.0.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the product looks identical. But, you know, with the new Rev, you're going to get all the new features, the new hardware, dual-core and all that. So you're going to be cognizant of that. If you keep ordering what you've always ordered, you're going to get the old stuff. So, you know, this is something you definitely want to think about, because if I'm working on a new project, I want to have the new features available to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that might be a good idea. We do a tech tip on walking through the TI selection tool to see and identify that we're applying the latest and greatest. The new device does look a little different. They did some mechanical improvements on the Profinet game, so you can get to them better.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a few things that I'm sure you struggled with. The display actually is a new integrated display, so you don't need to worry about firmware for the PLC and firmware for the display. And Lewis did a LinkedIn post showing how fast the new displays are when we were at SPS. So the new displays are pretty powerful. That's another cool thing. We might want to do a tech tip or a article on the display functionality. But the other thing is, you can see here by doing this, what was in V17 previous generation, the size 703 meg, it's double. So wow. Now you have, and the execution time went from, I want to say 10 or 30. 30? Oh, this one 30, yeah. The 1515, I think, was one of the fastest improvements. So you can see it was at 30 nanoseconds per bit. Now it's at 6. So
wow.
Really fast. So if I was going to play a game of marketing, I might want to call this a PAC. Is that what you, PAC, PLC, controller? Change the name, even though all it's doing is evolving over time with the technology, whether it's a PLC or a controller or a PAC. This is, all of us do the same.
Yeah, you know, it really is. There's really no difference, as we've kind of think we've demonstrated over the last few years. What Siemens has as a POC is as good and advanced as the other people who have PACs on the market. But I love seeing vendors like Siemens take this product that's 5 times faster, has double the memory, same footprint or a nearly identical footprint. So you can take out the old, you can put the new one if that's what you're doing. Or if you're doing another project, you can just start using the new stuff. It is nice. Sometimes vendors will actually change the whole model family, and you know, it'll be a totally different, you know, part number and everything. And but in some products, really, it's just a rev change like we have here. And I think that's helpful, man. Love to see the stuff just get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the automation plant floor, struggling with the different devices from one project to another project, and what I found frustrating was the complete rewrite of my standards because of the hardware change. Whereas if I look at Siemens, step 7 was the OBs and the FBs and the FCs of the 300s and the 400s. All that consistency rolled into 1200s, ET200 SBs, and 1500s. So I'm able to evolve my technology. And WinCC, same thing. You know, it's been the HMI design tool, and all of that functionality has evolved over time. So those things are pretty significant when you look at where we want. And the future's looking the same way. I mean, we don't have a new generation TI portal framework plan to displace what's here. We just have a plan to evolve it to support the support.
Well, and I think the user appreciates that. I know there was one vendor when they changed, they came out with the new I/O line, they changed how you address the I/O, and it was just extremely painful and frustrating that after 20 years they would do that when everything else they still have had the old style, and now there's a new style, and things don't directly translate, and it's just like, why? And it's very much appreciated by them, because the people out there, they're gonna get work done. They're not here for the fun of it. They have jobs that have to get done. You know, things have to get done. So it's so appreciated.
Yeah, that was significant for me. Sitting in the plant floor struggling with my step into the new components when I was at the other guys, and my frustration of how much work I had to do to get back to where I was at the last project. A couple of more things on this new firmware that are pretty significant. It is device compatibility with the field. So the concern that, you know, I have a machine that's programmed with TI Portal V15, V16, or V17, for example. I got one of these older generations of hardware that's got a 01 or 02, for example. I take the memory card out of that and I put it into the new firmware, and they've made it where it's going to run incompatibility mode of those previous projects, project versions, and device versions. So there's no need to migrate your projects or your applications because you had to replace the PLC.
That's huge. Drop-in replacement.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Incompatibility. The other thing that is significant is the delivery. So even though I start today and I buy TI Portal V18 and the licensing, if I happen to find that I have a project that's a V16, the license for V18 will activate the software for V11, V12, V14, V15. So if I happen to need to install a V15 or previous generation, that software will run off of my Step 7 V18 license or my WinCC V18 license. So you're not needing to juggle multiple versions of licensing. And we support the ability to order both the previous hardware 2.9 for a little while, along with the new 3.0, in case you're not ready for that.
Let me ask you this. Let's say I'm brand new to Siemens. I buy a copy of the software. I get TIA Portal Step 7 V18. But in my plan, I have old firmware 1, firmware 2. Can I program those? Can I open those applications, tweak them, and download them to those old CPUs all from within Site 18?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So it's not like other vendors where I have to install every old version they have to match every old PLC I have. I can actually just have 18 and service all my old PLCs, correct?
Correct. Now, if this old PLC was a V15 programmed, I still upgrade the project to V18, but I don't have to upgrade the hardware. If I don't want to deal with upgrading the hardware, I just want to use V18 as the engineering software, I can upgrade the project and the display will say running V18 project, but it's still this older firmware.
So if I edit it in V18, put it back in the old CPU, and then the OEM says, hey, send me a copy of your edits, and he hasn't gone to 18, well, then there's a problem. He's still maybe running V15, and if he didn't purchase the V18, he won't be able to open the project I edited because I edited it in a newer version. Am I following that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, correct. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I did that purposely when I created my little demo project here, is I selected the previous generation controller so I could change it. So I even did it with the 1200s. If I go here to a 1215, I can select any one of these older versions that existed for the previous versions. And basically what that does is it allows me inside TI Portal V18 to open a project that has this hardware. And I don't have to change anything about the hardware, the PLC, the IO, or the drives until I'm ready. I can start by just programming with V18. I download it to this old hardware, and it will run it as V18, but it's still running it as a 4.2 until I decide that I want to run through my step to upgrade the hardware.
You know, and I want to point this out. One thing I ran into when teaching my course on the S7 is, so I typically will choose the oldest version because who knows what I have in the school, right? So I'll choose the older version just to be safe, to make sure I'm not using any new features of the newest stuff. And the one thing I did find out, though, is there are some newer CPUs that won't accept the older versions of the, so if you chose like a version 1 or version 3, and then you go download it to a new CPU and say, hey, I want you to change that to version like 4.4 or whatever. So that is something to keep in mind. It's easy to do, it's painless, but just always choosing the older rev. If you're starting a new project, you may be forced to up the rev because certain CPUs are going to have a minimum rev number support.
Correct.
It's not a problem. It's just something to be aware of. Yes. And in my course, it was very seamless. We changed it, downloaded it. We were going.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. With flexibility comes a little bit of a need to kind of be aware of the fact that it's got these nice features that allow me to be flexible, but you also have to engineer through it with when am I going to upgrade the device as well. Again, the previous generation 1500s were a 0.0, and those were firmware updatable up until 1.8. I think the time frame would have been 2015, potentially. Those were V12, V13 vintage hardware. The testing wasn't done on those devices. So there, again, like you said, if I have a machine or a project that is in V13 with this hardware config, and I want to do a device replacement with a 3.0, I just go into the project and change my device to a 1 or a 2 in these other versions, and I can download it to the 3. The primary thing that we're trying to get to, if you are a V18 user, new user, use the new firmware, because you have the new functionality, such as the view of things, the long-term trace, the performance, and all the other things that are part of the firmware. So that's where it gets there. Okay?
Oh, yeah, thank you. This is a great slide, by the way, if you're listening in. That slide kind of has all the versions on it.
That's in the text
slide. Slide 18, like yep.
Another thing that was kind of significant with TI Portal and the 1500s coming away from the old 300s, classic 300s, was the symbolic addressing. Basically really making a concerted effort to make sure that the data block takes up the minimum amount of memory by optimization of the tag block or the data block based on the types of variables. But what it did is it made it hard for those programmers that like to use indexed arrays and mine the data with offsets. So in the past, some people had to use what was known as addressed DBs, classic DBs, where it was had the ability to accessing it based on the index, data block dot underscore one, underscore two, whatever, to mine the data based on an index. What they've done in V18 and the new hardware is basically provided a way resolve the access to the array or the data block based on the symbol. So that's going to be huge for people that, you know, want to use the optimized data block and really focus on symbolic address. Another significant feature that's been built into the 1500s and it evolved over time is the trace. And a lot of people look at comparing that to other tools where the software tool is basically pulling the PLC for the signal and trying to capture it as fast as it might be changing in the PLC. In the Siemens world, the trace is a trace of the signals as it is able to capture them in the PLC. So when I configure a trace for my PLC or my drive, and I want to monitor it, it's actually loaded into the device and it's captured in the device based on the cyclic main program, OB1, or maybe a PID cyclic OB that's running every 50 milliseconds for my PID or my motion control or my safety. But there's only so much memory in the PLC that was allowing that capture because the data is in the PLC. What they've done in this version is if I'm connected with my laptop computer and I want a long-term trace where I want to continuously capture that, the trace data that's being monitored inside the TI portal is now going to be capable of being set to store it on a CSV on my local computer. So now it's still got the same memory limitation of the device, but the data that falls off the back end is being stored on the laptop.
All right, so this is really important because if you're doing a trend or a trace, I mean, some of these values in the PLC are changing faster than how the PG or the PC can communicate to the PLC. I mean, it's just the PC isn't fast enough to capture that data. So that's why the trace data is stored in the PLC. But what you're saying is it's going to bulk upload those if you're running a trace for a really long time. With V18 now, the CPU will stop bulk uploading those files to the PC so it can all be saved in a CSV. So we record it a much longer time than we would if it was just stored in the CPU. Am I understanding that?
Perfect.
Excellent. Yep. That's very cool.
And the other benefit is if I have a situation where a drive is tripping an over travel or an operator is hitting a knee stop, and I don't want to leave my laptop on the machine overnight. What's nice about the trace being loaded in the PLC is I can set it up to capture that trigger event of the e-stop being pressed, and it will be stored in the PLC. And when I come back tomorrow morning, I get the report, hey, the machine stopped. I can upload that trace out of the PLC and look at the data that was there. So that's the other side of the trace being in the PLC that brings you that big benefit. But yeah, powerful. The other thing that we did in V17 was allowed the configuration of the trace signals to be cross-device functional. So I could configure a trace that is for PLC number one, PLC number two, and drive number three, and the signal will all be overlaid. So I can determine an overvoltage or overcurrent on the drive occurred at the same time that the PLC detected something being done, such as an operator hitting an e-stop. That's another powerful thing of the trace is the ability that it's system functional, still loaded in the devices, and the communication is going across the devices to synchronize the data. All right, now I'm just going to kind of spew out a bunch of different things that are related to the automation system-centric approach of the TIA, Total Integrated Automation, and TI Portal. OPC UA has been a communication standard or protocol built into the 1500 since, I believe, V16, V17, and it's just evolved over the time to support more and more functionality. So the 1500, I think, can be server client. The 1200 can be server. My OPC UA client can basically pull those data. Actually, at SPS, I saw OPC UA being used for ProfiSafe on a system. So that was another cool thing about being over there, seeing the consortiums for the communication network protocols showing their next greatest stuff. But I really believe that OPC UA is that secure communication that we're going to see tie automation systems together in the future and share valuable data. And it's built in. I just hit a tick box on the PLC, buy a license, and the 1500 is an OPC server. We talked about the PLC SIM. PLC SIM Advanced is that true digital twin. That's another option that rolled out with V18 is our new PLC SIM Advanced 5.0. Basically, every time that we introduce new hardware, the PLC SIM application has to evolve to support those new article numbers and those new devices. RH systems are another significant thing. Maybe you want to get Jim Wilmot back on here or Lewis to talk about some of the advancements in the controllers associated with the RHs or the motion, the NPU, the AI, other technologies that are going into the controller for the future. But I really significantly feel that people are an opportunity by not leveraging PLC SIM or PLC SIM Advanced, HMI SIM, safety simulation, motion simulation in their validation of their project files. And this is kind of the whole little ecosystem. There's going to be other things that you guys get access to or see from a global perspective when it comes to Siemens. Siemens has to represent the entire automation system-centric approach of what they have to offer, even if it's not necessarily ready for prime time in a certain country, such as the U.S. Somatic AX is automation extension, is basically adding some additional programming capabilities for a standardizer guy that basically wants to manage his libraries in a different environment. So that's going to be a limited release and not necessarily rolled out immediately in the next near future, but you'll see some of that information online related to what Somatic AX is. Myself and others here in the US will be available to discuss it as an introduction of what is the future looking like when it comes to using that tool. Some of these other tools, we'll need to kind of maybe do an article with you, Sean, to kind of talk about where you use them and what they're for. The Xiaomi is for OPC-UA, defining those structures. Proneta is for the I/O checkout. Somatic Automation Tool is a tool for managing the automation devices on a network. CNET Plan is a tool for managing the network configuration and the optimizing the network for the best performance for Profinet. And then Industrial Edge is, you know, the other add-on. And then these are all the components that sit around the framework of the TI portal that's truly integrated into that. TI portal in the cloud is not necessarily released here in the US as a subscription offering, meaning that I can order it and pay for it by the month or pay for it by the minute. That will be potentially require some reconfiguration of our order processing systems, but I have found that I have access to do it as a 21-day trial, and you should as well be able to do that. It's basically under a what's known as premium services, industrial premium services. So if you look for industrial premium services portal, you can get to TI portal in the cloud, but we're not quite yet. If you see anything that suggests that you can pay for it by the month and order it in the cloud, we're not quite yet there. We do have subscription bundles for TI portal, and we do have a grace period for people buying SUSs to get started on it. The sales and delivery release is posted on our support site. I like how they kind of broke it out. You can kind of see all the different delivery release details of every one of the components, and you can get to the trial version, so you can do your own trial version. So I'll share that link. There's a QR code right here that gets you to that as well. And then I was going through the technical slides. John is a PDF document on that sales release. And I'll give you that link so you can post it with the article, because that's probably the most significant thing that is related to this podcast is the details inside the sales and delivery release team and the links to the trial software. Another thing that's kind of cool or significant is it is once installation. So when I select my ISO file, for Step 7 Professional with Safety, WinCC Advanced, and Unified, it's basically going to run one setup, one installation. And it went really fast on my computer when I did it yesterday. It ran through that really fast and did the installation of that core key components of TI Portal with Step 7. Safety is installed. I just need the license key. And then it does both WinCC Advanced and Unified. There's also an install that allows me to do WinCC Professional if I'm using that higher-end SCADA solution. But if you're planning and doing new stuff, I would stick to the Unified and work on there. You do need to do a couple more installs to finish the installation of your TI Portal framework. I did Start Drive so that I could do motion and drives. I did PLC Sim so I could do what you saw as far as the ability to simulate my PLC. And I did unified simulation so that I could simulate my unified. And then if I have panels, I also have to install the image so that when I download to a unified panel, I have the images. And what I like about this screen is kind of lets me see the framework of all of the things that I can do inside TI Portal. I've got my user management, my multi-user project server where I can check in changes and monitor my device. I've got my OPC UA configuration for my PLC, my traces, my web applications for my view of things. I've got Test Suite and the Project Tree version control interface. All these things, we've got tutorial videos on our Knowledge Hub I'll give Sean the link on the bottom of this article as well, so that you can get to some of that information. But it's pretty cool to see all the things visibly shown inside my framework of TI Portal. I'm not using a shortcut key to get to them. I've got my user set up over here in TI Portal. And as I mentioned, Sean, I did go ahead and install my TI Portal. There's a very comprehensive help on what's new. So if you go here and show help, it will bring up a nice detailed view as well, if you have the installation, highlighting what's new in V18 and all the different components. You can get started, first steps for the 1500 or the 1200. You can take Sean's course. I would recommend taking the Siemens 1500 course. That's very well done. Sean takes you from nuts and bolts of the actual hardware out of the box to the swing arm connector for the front of the digital in or the analog or the 1200 all the way to the memory card, the run switch, and starting to program the PLC. But there's a lot of links here where you can get started to Center. And as I mentioned, in the event that you are or they didn't have an update service set up, there is a grace period. If you have V17 or one of these options in V17's framework release current, if you buy a SUS on those products, you'll get the V18, even though you didn't have the SUS in place. What's nice about the SUS, if you buy it between now and February, it'll be good for 1 year, auto renew at that year, and you'll be ready to get V19 as well.
So that grace period ended February 28th of 2023. So if you have 17, you know, you want to get 18, you know, just get your support contract renewed if it's not currently renewed. And then you'll not only get a year of support, but you'll also get the new release and potentially 19 as well, depending on when it comes out. So definitely, if you've been thinking about it, or if you let it lapse because you didn't need it, this might be a good time to get it. So remember, February 28th, 2023, that's the last date you can get that. I would get it before then, definitely, if you're going to do it. Last time you get the SUS on 17 and get 18 for free.
Absolutely. And also potentially, like you said, get the V19. That's a lot, Sean. We went way over, but it kind of felt like that was a good, nice little overview. And like I said, I'll give you the links on more information so your followers can dig into it on their own.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's nicer. I mean, sometimes if you're watching on a phone, the QR codes are great, but a lot of times if you're on a PC, I think we're still 75% PC users on the Automation blog. So it's nice to have those links there. You know, even if you're using YouTube on your phone, it's still nice to have the links there to click on instead of having to do anything else. So I'd love to have the links in there. And really appreciate you coming back on the show, John, and go through this. And a lot of exciting stuff in there. Dual core, all these new features, five times faster with that one example and twice the memory. So a lot of exciting stuff. I can't wait to start playing with it once I get through my other. And thank you for mentioning the course, too. We're still working on that, adding quizzes and exercises. And so we expect the full release. If anybody wants to get the early access price on that, that's also something that's running out as well over at theautomationschool.com. But in any case, John, really appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to put this together and come on the show and talk to us about V18.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime, Sean. And as anyone of your followers wants, they can contact me directly via LinkedIn or follow me on LinkedIn for more information. Thanks, Sean.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. And I want to thank John for coming back on the show to bring us up to speed on TIA Portal version 18. Now, if you did enjoy this episode, please consider giving us a like and a sub. And if you want to follow me or get in touch with me, you can do so over at automation.locals.com. You'll also find all of my PLC, HMI, and SCADA courses over at theautomationschool.com. With that said, I want to wish you all a very happy, safe, and healthy week. And until next time, my friends, peace.